another generator light trailer, and it's right now currently stored down at the highway department in Beatrice here. I moved it up from Weimar to Beatrice. It's a 8 kW diesel generator with a Kubota engine. Has lights with a crank up 30-foot tower that will light up the whole neighborhood pretty easy. The generator trailer itself, we have a small two-wheel trailer we purchased, and in that trailer we keep our generators and extra lights. I think right now we have 5 generators and several sets of different spotlights, floodlights, interior lights that we put in that trailer that we can use. A satellite radio phone is one of the new purchases this year, so we have a satellite phone now in the county that we can use if whoever may need it in a location. We have several locations. We have some locations with no radio communications or satellite or cell phone communications. So this also has a radio system in it that actually can talk to the state and Nebraska Emergency Management, to the State Patrol, to Health and Human Services, and several state divisions. As well, we have a talk channel between myself and Lancaster County Emergency Management. He has 2 of these satellite phones. So that's some of our new equipment. And Robbie said, you know, we're going to buy the sonar system to place on the boat. The boat's currently still stored down in Weimar at the county shop down there. Emergency Operations Center on the next page is under construction, of course, with the courthouse renovation. I have plans and have equipment in my Suburban that we are able to respond to a certain location of a disaster, or let's say a community is affected. We will set up our Emergency Operations Center in that location, or use one of our portable trailer, or I've also got agreements with Lancaster County and Jefferson County that they have the mobile command trailers, the FEMA mobile trailer houses that they purchase, that we could work out of if need be. We could even pull that anywhere here around the courthouse if we needed the extra room to use during an Emergency Operations Center activation. Calls for service for 2009, back in 2009, completed 18 new 911 addresses. This year, we're working on a multiple amount of issues between working with the clerk's office and the voter's registration. We've identified several addresses that are wrong, that some of them actually even put them in wrong precincts, I guess, or wrong areas where they vote. We need to correct all them. We're making a list, generating a list to get them. It will not make very many people happy. We'll be changing some addresses. The problem we found is that when GEOCOM addressed the county 10 years ago before I came on board, they sent everybody out a card in the rural area. And then like 2 or 3 weeks later, my understanding is everybody got another card with a different address on it. And so people were starting to use their other address, and then they got a new address, and they didn't know which address to use. And that's the problem I hear almost 99% of the time when I go out to change their address or verify an address. The other thing that's identifying a lot of issues is now that UPS and one of the other shipping companies, two others actually, 3 different shipping companies, are not delivering goods to people's houses because they use GPS now, and they only deliver to where their GPS says they got to go. So I have one business in the county that cannot receive packages at his business. He has to receive them in town, come in and pick them up and bring them back out. I don't know how to work, so we're working on that to try to make that correction. So that's pretty time consuming, trying to figure out who sets the GPS map and try to get that corrected. It's actually a whole road that isn't even listed on any GPS unit that we have here in the county. So I'm working with GEOCOM to get that taken care of. Last year we had 28 weather-related events in Gage County, 4 events so far in 2010. We have had 3 weather-related federal declarations from those events. All 3 required, again, setting up applicant briefings, getting FEMA-required paperwork completed by the townships, villages, and cities, and also spending time with Nebraska Emergency Management and FEMA doing the damage assessments. All 3 of those disasters, we thought we were going to squeak through the year without a disaster, and then we had the one in November that affected the southern part of the county. Most of that damages, that was disaster 1864 on November 16th. Those damages were from power line companies doing damage to the roads as they restored power. Nothing we could do. They needed to restore the power. The roads were terrible. They tore them up, and so we had that mostly affected the southern townships. The second disaster was 1878, was on Christmas Eve. This disaster is for snow emergency-related incidences. We're going through that now. They're actually meeting with the townships. I met with Norris Public Power to try to get a map of the damage areas, so FEMA would have that to identify to help get the money back from them. And the bottom of the page 8, that picture you see there, is it kind of turned out blurry, but that's actually our rescue truck in Wymore. Myself and the fire chief are in the rescue truck, and if there's a little light ahead of that, and that's Marlin in the road maintainer. This was taken from the Highway 8 and 77 camera. Emergency manager in Jefferson County was monitoring our radio traffic, knew we were at the intersection and snapped it as we were going through. The third disaster, 1902, number 1902 is March 6th or April 16th, is for road damage caused by snow melt and heavy rain during that time period. So we have three federal working disasters right now. They haven't even really started doing anything on the 1902. Marlon and I and Emily's working on, and we met with FEMA and we got a plan worked out to get the townships, to get the county their money back for the rock they delivered and get the townships the money for the time and trouble, the maintainer and the operator. One nice thing about it, the townships don't employ their operators full time. So every minute that they're in that maintainer out on the road is reimbursable from FEMA. Calls for service continued. We had 60 health hazard calls. These includes any hazardous material incidences. So far this year, we've had some small incidences. I wasn't able to record them yet, but I did respond to two large spills, one a couple weekends ago on a Saturday afternoon, one on a Monday morning, where we had do some pretty good cleanup of both of those spills and contacted DEQ, and we're working with DEQ to finalize those reports. One of the biggest things we responded to was the Norris school bus accident, and worked with the other schools in the county using lessons learned from that incident. So I've met with several of the schools and visited with them on that, kind of some ideas that we had that we learned from that incident. Tier 2 reportings, we had 47 Tier 2 facilities in Gage County now. That's 7 more than last year. We actually gained 7 more sites in the county that has hazardous materials that's reportable, has to be reported under SARA Title III. And we also have started the Tri-County Local Emergency Operation or Local Planning Committee, which includes Gage, Jefferson, and Saline. And instead of meeting monthly like we used to, we meet every 3 months. And when we meet here in Gage County, we normally meet at the homestead, and they allow us to use their facilities for free, and it's kind of a central location for all three counties. Still have 15 locations of communications equipment in the county. The one location in Lancaster County at the Howland Power Plant, we have 2 pieces of equipment there. What we're working on with our regional communications plan is that there is a new tower going to be built in Hallam, right at the edge of Hallam across from the fire station, which we plan on moving that equipment out of the Lancaster County or out of Hallam Power Plant onto that tower. We're having to replace that equipment and work on that equipment quite often at the power plant because of the heat. And then also working with the statewide communication system, which is called the Paraclete system, and we'll be doing a report on that later on a few months from now. And one of the things we're being really careful on is that the state wants us to put a piece of equipment in our county. And what I sit on a committee now through a regional is that how are we going to keep that and where are we going to get the money to keep that piece of equipment going? Because what I don't want to do is take on a piece of equipment that's going to cost me several thousand dollars a year to maintain.
Mr. Chairman, if we're only halfway through, we're going to be here till after dinner. This is like a year's report in a short time. I think we need to move on to some other business and maybe continue this later. Would that be all right, Matt? But we're only about halfway through already.
Yeah,
it goes through pretty quick after that.
Couple more minutes. I think it's valuable.
I didn't realize we were going to have the whole year in one sitting.
Couple more minutes, Mark.
Okay. I'll flip to the projects then. The rural address signs, AVL system, the helipad, the hazardous mitigation plan we're still working on. We're on the final draft. FEMA has approved it. We haven't got the printed copy yet, but working on that. The courthouse renovation, the regional communications, ID cards, that's a new machine. Big issue now is the narrowband communications where one of the things, Marlon has to replace all 50 of his radios, about $50,000 of the radio equipment Marlon's going to have to replace. The AVL system, I just attached a map there, kind of a snapshot of what the dispatchers see, of the patrol units that are in the county, the counties next to us. On the second page, I couldn't get it all on one page, so I cut and pasted This is a tracking device that, this one is my particular unit we've had on there since January. You can see the time where I was at, the date, the latitude, longitude, the speed I was going, which direction I was going, and the street address closest to where I was going. SWOT training that we had, strength, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats, you can read through them. A lot of good comments and positive things about the emergency management system in our county. Having here about the Southeast Nebraska Management Group, the regional group that we participate in with the 14 other counties, some of the things we're doing there. The SEMERS group, the Southeast Nebraska Medical Response System we're working on, that we required to attend those meetings. And they supply medical support during disasters and equipment. They also helped, one of the reasons the hospital was able to get their accreditation. Exercise training officers positions changed a little bit, and it kind of has a breakdown of where we're at on that. And now reports to me. I'm his supervisor direct instead of the regional board, governance board, and just the rest of the activities. We did have another poster, the severe weather awareness poster contest. We had another winner here. We skipped a year, so this is our eighth winner, Megan Ellie Moore of Blue Springs took third place in the statewide poster contest from Blue Springs Elementary. And then just some of the other activities. The last couple pages is our Homeland Security grant funds. We have the 2007, 2008, and then the last few pages. If you need explanation, you can stop and see me or Sean, and we can explain that pages to you. We're the Southeast region when you look at that. And this year for 2009, it's about $844,000 we have to spend in Homeland Security money this year for our region. So,
thank you, Matt.
There's exercise training officer Sean's position. I think there's some changes there. He's a contracted employee, I believe, with us. And I think we probably were going to have to look and change some of the content of that, I think. Isn't that correct? Are we outside of that contract?
Yeah.
I know there's been some changes you've kept us aware of, and the funding and things out of that. So I guess we may have to visit and see how that has to get put together differently.
Okay. We have a pretty good direction from the state now, so something we never had since he's been here.
Yeah.
They've always said they were going to, but never gave us any direction. We finally have written direction. I think I forwarded that to you.
Need a motion?
My question, what the situation is with Sean and his position?
It's refunded again. We have the funding. We have a work plan, so he's funded again through at least through 2010. Through 2011, he's funded through.
That take a lot to get that paperwork straightened out, or
The county attorney visited with me at one of our problem is that our regional meetings, and I've asked, I'm the only county effect, so they won't change it. They're always on our county board days. So I wasn't able to get one of you there. So you signed the deputy county attorney, and it didn't take very long for that to get straightened out. So he got with the other governance board people, and
that was a regional issue, wasn't it?
Yes.
There
was some paperwork wasn't getting completed, and so we had to go up. I spent a day in Lincoln. Some of the paperwork was completed. They don't know. They just didn't read it. They had it, and so when we showed it to them, explained it to them, it got worked out pretty quick. So.
And some of that correspondence actually came from Lieutenant Governor, did it?
Yes, it did. We actually made a phone call to the Lieutenant Governor's office, and it didn't take very long to get fixed.
Great.
Motion to place on file.
So move.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 7-0.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Discuss, approve or disapprove sale of county right away to state of Nebraska. Marlon?
That's Matt.
I'll just make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion, Matt.
Okay, this is information that I believe Marlon got, sent it to the county attorney's office, and then it came back to us. In this report, there's it's a compensation estimate. Essentially, it's a state of Nebraska. I'll just read it verbatim here. Enclosed are the contracts and other documents that compromise our just compensation offer in the amount of $1,472. Also included is an appraisal used as the basis for the offer, a plan sheet showing the affected areas of your property, and a brochure explaining our policies and your rights and civil rights survey. So there's more to that letter, but essentially it's the area south 77 where it curves and goes back
east.
There's that.
It's where the state has their salt bin.
I always thought that was the state's.
I think they did too, probably. I showed this briefly to Patty today, and they've established a market. So they looked at comparable sales. They had four comparable sales there, made an offer of $1,472, which is about $3,200 an acre. It's 0.46 acres. So they're using it anyway. They've been using it. They're just paying us for it, and it'll actually be theirs now.
Okay.
Is that going to highway fund or the
general?
General.
General fund.
And it, I mean, I have the document
building
here.
Grounds.
Yeah. I want building grounds.
The grounds part.
Documents
grounds.
Here to be signed with a self-addressed envelope. So it was housekeeping. The letter was actually dated April 14th, so we've had it a while. I think we received it on the 16th, so I got a call at home from Bernie Henrich, the gentleman's name, asking about what the status was. Very nice. He said if he had any questions, and so I've got it someplace here. So.
Well, their offer is still good today, then.
Yeah, he wanted to know how long it was going to take us to do it and if he had any questions or anything. But
tell him we're way faster than the state.
I went through and read everything, and, you know, they just want that little piece of ground that they've been using. So,
okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. 10-minute recess, Ron.
Good.
Don't take me that long.
Five minute recess. Okay. Well,
I'll let you fish that out.
Station. Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. Change order number 8 on roof for tapered ISO insulation in the amount of $2,008.72.
So move.
Moved by Fleece.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion, Ron.
Oh, it says to do a little remodeling up there on the north perimeter of the flat roof, where we found that some of the roof wasn't quite draining properly, so this would take care of that so we don't end up with a leaky roof in about 2 or 3 years. So.
Does any of this go back on the roofers that were up there? How is that different, I guess?
How's the different whim? I'll let you answer that one.
Why is this not the responsibility of the roofers that we...
Well, actually, what this was brought about by when the demolition of the roof, when they took the old roof off, on the east and west ends of the flat roof on the north side, the roof drains are on the north side here. They had built up a cricket to provide drainage from those corners towards the roof drains, which are more in the center. The cricket on the north side, or on the northeast side, when they took the roof off, was all framed. There was actually a wood framed slope built into that roof structure. When they took it off of the northwest side, that structure was not there. The it had never been built, or it had been removed and not put back during the renovation work in the 60s, 70s. What they had done to provide for that slope on the northwest side was they just kept building the roof up to provide enough slope back to that roof drain. And so we had to put something back there. What we had assumed was is that they had framed both of them the same way. And then when it got down to it, there was nothing over there. So there was two choices. We could either construct it out of wood, or we could get tapered insulation to put in that corner to provide for that. And that's what that abbreviation is. It's for tapered insulation material, which is a lot cheaper, and it doesn't have the degradation if you have a leak. So that's what we were providing there, was we were putting something back that had been constructed differently.
And it's just on that one, it's not
just
that
on this northwest corner, correct.
Any more discussion? vote. In favor, Anderson, Grunewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers. Against, Barnard. Change order number 9 on roof for additional TPO pipe boots in the amount of $384.07.
I move approve change order number 9.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Byers. Ron.
This has to do with putting something up there so that when the lighting committee does their annual lighting deal, that this will keep them from having to go into the building and stuff, that this will be up there permanently. This will be a bill set to that will be paid for by the lighting committee. It's for their benefit.
Is it? We need a motion to read that they're going to reimburse the county then?
I think we talked about that at billing grounds, didn't we? That it would be a
at least to ask them for. I suppose it's tough to demand, but we certainly should ask them for it.
Well, is the motion going to be that they... Have you already talked to them, Ron?
No.
Should we act on it yet till we know?
No. I don't... Well,
we need to
act. There'll be an opportunity to get it from them. Come about next November when they have lights.
How are we going to get it then?
Well, we'll get it.
Well, it needs to be done, and it makes sense to do it, and then I don't think we'll have any problem getting the money from them, but it needs to be done.
To clarify, aren't these like all-weather heads where you can plug into them without drilling through a wall or a window? Or
it'll provide you access to run wiring for the holiday lights.
It's an all-weather electrical access head.
It's really for their benefit. I mean, for less problems as far as they're concerned.
They have a maintenance... Yeah. Fund anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it's clearly defined. It's solely for their purpose. Otherwise, if we didn't have holiday lights, we wouldn't be doing it.
Right. Correct.
And we may not be if they are nice enough to reimburse us.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Change order number 22 on courthouse project for relocating County Court Wainscote in the amount of $986.
This is when we get everything back into county court. We're going to have to raise the floor up for the
bench area.
Yeah, and that will mean they're also going to have to relocate that wainscot. I always call it a fence between the people sitting there and the attorney. So this is what this is here.
Actually, the bench was raised anyway originally, right? Before we took we tore that out.
Yeah.
So we're just putting back what we tore out.
Right. Need a second.
No.
Yeah. We have a motion.
Second
by Bauman. Matt?
So this isn't none of the friends of the courthouse are paying. This doesn't come out of theirs.
No, not to this one. No, because we're involved with the floor and stuff on this and getting the bench back, and has nothing to do with the historical or anything of that nature.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove addendum number 2 to Child Support Enforcement Cooperative Reimbursement Agreement.
Move to approve.
Second.
Rick has signed approved by Barnard, moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman, approved by the attorney's office, Rick. Discussion.
That has to do with the it's like $10.27 a month that we're going to be responsible for.
Yeah, and then he explained to me that he can put that in with that reimbursement, that we should eventually get that back through that
Maximus
company that comes in, and he can get reimbursement on that.
So it's an unfunded mandate of $10.27 a month, essentially.
$10 plus a month, huh?
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. I'm going to move committee reports ahead of the executive session. Committee reports.
Okay, for our building and grounds, we got a report from the law enforcement committee in regards to various maintenance and improvements for the jail and sheriff's office. I don't know if all of you got that a report or not.
It was a really nice article.
Daily Sun had a very good article
about it, too.
We're going to be getting bids on that then, Ron, on those different things?
26 different items or 27 different items. A lot of those are just annual maintenance type things.
Some of them didn't look that big. I mean, if you really look at that hard, some of them weren't
No, there's probably four or five items of that whole bunch where it's going to
bigger.
Going to be cost, you know, pay some cost, the smoke alarms and some of that stuff. So, but we wanted to know. Also, as in consent agenda, we approved the storage go ahead and get quotes for a storage shed west of the Veterans Affairs Office. So, they will enclose that. That thing there that we could use for storage.
Security purposes primarily.
Let's see. Number received. Got rid of that. That. Oh, yeah, we're getting a getting some quotes on what it might cost to do some stencil painting in the county courtroom. There were different things that were on the walls way back when. Kind of a historical thing. So we're getting quotes, and whether or not we'll do it or who will do it, it's still up in the air yet. Just depends on what kind of cost and whether or not when we do get a cost of who could do it and for how much, we'll go back probably to the friends at the courthouse and say, do you guys want to be involved with this?
Well, and it could be a situation in visiting with Dave Jones that they might be able to do it. He doesn't see this as being as difficult as some people might make it. And so we might have our own staff be able to do this at thousands and thousands of dollars less than our quotes are.
Or one quote. The courthouse sound system, we still haven't gotten the report yet from the person that's provided that to us. Hopefully next committee meeting we'll have that also, and getting that going. People have contacted me, and they've contacted, I'm sure, some of you about the white corners of the courthouse roof. And so Dave Jones and Wim have two color schemes that they're going to use on that, so it won't show up as white, and I think they're probably looking at a soft gray for that, so that'll more or less blend in with the slate and stuff on it. So they're looking at that right now. We will be sending out a bid package, or WIM will, in the next couple of weeks on the ground floor windows on the south side. That was our part of our $98,000 energy grant, stimulus grant we got. So we'll have maybe something more to report on that in the next couple of weeks.
Ron, will they match the window? Are they going to try to get the same window and everything?
That's all I guess I have. Got anything?
Update on the estimated date that we can use the elevator so we can move in an external party back.
For sure, it'll be June 15th. If not, the people involved with getting the installation and going in the courthouse are going to have to pay next month's rent.
Okay.
So, but it's pretty well assured it'll be June 15th.
So should we? What's our timeline that we need to give notice on that lease agreement that we approved? Do we know what that is?
Well, I think they already did it for June. Have to do it. Yeah. We kind of knew that 2 weeks ago. That it wouldn't be this month, that they would have until June to get everything back into the courthouse. Have you been up? Anybody have been up?
Yes.
Looks good.
Nice of space in the courthouse.
Yeah, pretty attractive. Yeah.
Very good.
Has our landlord been notified in writing downtown?
Well, I'm assuming they have, but
I'll get with somebody.
Yeah.
I think it has to
check
come
with
from
the clerk
board.
And do that. Or
the board better be the notifier.
Yeah.
Yeah, the clerk should follow up with the chairman of building and grounds.
Well, if they don't, I'll do it.
Any other committee reports?
My next committee is just working slowly, approving as few claims as we possibly can to get through this budget year, trying to scrutinize a lot of costs. And Don, as the main budget authority person, is collecting budgets as they come in from agencies and other elected officials. We'll put those things together and move forward.
Dave.
Road and Bridge Committee, kind of on a not spur of the moment. We've been planning it for a month, but waiting for a rainy day to do a tour inspection of some of the asphalt roads. We were able to get away on Monday afternoon to do that. Spent about 3.5 hours, I guess, on touring mostly the east and the north part of the county on this particular trip. The Marlin and Tickley Galen is put together. Well, first of all, we got a list of, I think, the roads and when they were either overlaid or asphalted last of the 155 miles. We were given an update as to the priority in Galen's mind, at least. We kind of massaged that list a little bit, and the committee will be coming forth with a recommendation of what we should probably be trying to do in this coming budget year, and, you know, keep our fingers crossed. But the fact is, with maintenance of those roads, if you don't armor coat them every, say, 6-7 years, they deteriorate real fast, and then every, I'll say, 20 years or so, you just about have to put a 2 or more inch overlay on them. And, of course, the wish list is extensive. I think we came to kind of a consensus to what we're going to be recommending to the board, and we'll have that in 2 weeks.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Need a motion to go into executive session for personnel issues.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson, second by Bauman. Discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. There may be action after we come out of executive session. So,
can I get a little more specificity on personnel issues?
We're going to discuss personnel issues. Who told you? Patrick? I mean, that's all he told us is personnel issues. So that's what our counsel said. So that's the only answer I can give you, Luke. No. Motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson, second by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Matt.
Just to clarify, executive session regarding personnel. In 2 weeks, there will be an agenda item to discuss disciplinary action of a county employee. And that will be on the agenda for board action.
That it?
Anything else for the good of the order?
Got any meetings coming up? What about our committee meetings? Our next meeting, committee meetings are supposed to be on next Monday, or 2 weeks on a Monday?
Yeah, when you guys want to meet.
Holiday
Memorial
or something?
Memorial Day is
That's Memorial
on
Day.
Wow, it is.
It is a holiday.
Spring is over.
I assumed you wanted to meet on Friday. But.
I want to see this.
Friday.
No, I'll be gone the whole weekend. I won't be available on Friday.
Mountain range.
Do you have a problem with building and grounds maybe Thursday?
Rather than Friday?
Rather than Friday. So could you be here
weekends
on Thursday?
I'm leaving on Wednesday.
Oh, well, forget him. We'll have
long ways, Colorado.
What time on Thursday?
Yes.
Check your problem.
Yes. By
Thursday morning. Building and grounds Thursday morning at 8.
That'd be fine with me.
Building and grounds.
Road and bridge. I'm sorry. Road and bridge at 8.
What day is that?
And the main thing we'll have to do, the maintainer.
Wednesday is the 26th.
Some data
Thursday
on
the 27th.
Why don't we try for building and grounds right after that then?
You got finances.
Well, unless he wants to have a Friday.
Well, I'm trying to sister on to what you're doing.
Oh, me? 27? So I got to check my retirement schedule. I'm okay.
So committee meetings on Thursday.
You're not at a seminar somewhere?
Well, is that the 26th?
7th.
Oh, no, I'm okay.
27th, Thursday then? Is that what you guys are saying?
Finance, too.
Will she have the claims ready by the 20th?
I will try to get them. We'll
Ron, I will accommodate my busy schedule to meet your retirement schedule.
Hey, I'm good either Thursday or Friday.
And you should see his calendar is full, and he's crossing it off just to accommodate you guys.
I got one page.
I wish I was going to Colorado.
Will you let me know, will you? Let me know. Thursday or Friday.
We'll just do it.
There also.
Okay.
We'll just do the same day you're going to be here. Shirley will be here. We'll just do it that day.
Okay, Thursday.
Everything on Thursday then.
Thursday morning.
A week from 1 week from tomorrow. Does that work?
question about the termination. I hope it's dry. We've got some flattened
back. Yeah, if I'm not here, take over.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned, 11:20. 8:45.
Adding 5 feet, you can't do it.
We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held May 5th. Approve all claims through May 19th in the amount of $576,135.57. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve additions, withdrawals, and securities of county monies. Approve permit 860 for Windstream to repair bad communication line North 12 Highland. Approve permit 861 for Windstream to replace communications facility East 24, East 25 Barnston Township for the federal aid bridge. Approve obtaining quotes to enclose triplex carport.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for agenda items. Future agenda items. Name and address for the record, please.
Robert Hoisman.
Yeah, you get a step up here.
It's Robert Hoisman. I live in Sterling, Nebraska. It's 61061 731 Road.
Okay.
Well, I talked. I'm up on.
How do you spell your last name?
It's Heusman. Start from the beginning here. I got this letter from Stephen Kravick, and it's for child support. Well, I'd sent him a letter. I come up. I was been unemployed for a year and a half, and I was one of the guys that got the extended unemployment. One of the lucky ones, I guess. But anyway, I got a letter from him, and I'd sent him a letter as soon as my unemployment had run out, stating what's been going on. Well, I got a letter from him, and all of a sudden it's the plaintiff, which is my ex-wife, and then on the bottom it says I needed to call him. Well, I called him, and it felt like the trial began. And I wrote down, to the best I could remember, kind of word for word what was said, and I'd like to read it if I may. Okay, at May 12th at 8:12 a.m., I called Stephen Kravick. His secretary told me that he wasn't in and he would return my call. She was nice. I told her why I was calling and who I was. Okay, Stephen called me at 9:38, asked what he could do for me. I said I didn't know I was supposed to call him. With a very defensive attitude, he started out with telling me how much I made at Hamilton's, which is my last job, in 2008. Then told me I showed no income for 2009, which I didn't. Asked why is that and was very snobby about it. I mean, just kind of a jerk. Well, I told him I was unemployed, which he knew all that, for I thought about 16 months, and he interrupted me and said, why is that? I said, I couldn't find a job. He said, that was hard to believe, very snobby. No, that's hard to believe. Ask what? Did you give up looking? I said no, that I had a part-time job at Tecumseh Central Market, and that was all I could find. He asked why I never went back to Hamilton's to work. I said, there's no job for me there. He said, why? I said, because the market's gone. He interrupted me before I could say any more and said, well, why is that? They closed? The business closed? I said, no. I said, there's no, the economy crashed, and what I did there is gone. They don't do that anymore. Okay, so he went on to, I'm in my job, how do you, oh, he asked me how do you get by, well, how do you get by? And I told him with faith and a prayer, and that is the truth. He said, he interrupted snobby, and said, do you have a car, do you have insurance, how do you pay that? And I said, well, my fiance has a car, my fiance has insurance. And he said, well, you live off of her then. I said, well, yeah, I do, I guess. And he said, well, don't you feel bad living off of her, or doesn't that make you feel? And he stopped. And I said, well, you know, I feel bad. Well, then he went on to say, well, why don't you work for the prison? I said, I don't want to work for the prison. I said, would you work for the prison? He said, well, I'd do it. Yeah, I'd do anything rather than that. You know, yeah, I'd work for the prison before I'd do that. He never said live off of somebody, but it was what he was getting at. And I told him, well, no, that's not what I am. I'm a mechanic, you know. Well, then he told me that... Okay, again with attitude. He said... I asked him what his problem was with me. I said, what problem do you have with me? And he said, only problem I have with you is I don't think you're trying. I don't think you're trying hard enough. I said, okay. So that ended to... Let's see. Oh. He said that he would put me on the stand, and he said, that's fine, I'll just put you on the stand. And he said, it doesn't matter anyway, the judge isn't going to believe you, he's not going to change a thing. So that right there made me feel like, well, you have the judge in your pocket, or what's the deal there, you know? Well, that ended on going into, well, I'm trying to shorten it up here for you guys. I told him that he was talking about court date and putting me in front of the judge. And I said, well, what day is that? And I had this paper that said the 23rd. And he said, I don't know. I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? I don't have your file in front of me, which I found hard to believe, you know. But anyway, I said, okay. I said, well, is it the 23rd? I said, is it this paper that tells me I have to call you? He said, yes, it's the 23rd then. I said, well, that's a problem. I said, I go camping with my brother every year for a week. And I said, that's the week of our camping trip. And he goes, what could you possibly have to do, you know, to go camping with that? He said, what's more important to you? Wouldn't you rather get this taken care of or camp with your brother? I said, well, depends on how you live your life, which is true. I mean, yeah, I want to get this taken care of, but he got to plan a year in advance to get time off work so he can go. So, you know, I guess I felt that was important. So anyway, he said, you want to file for a continuance then? And I said, yeah. He said, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It's only going to hurt you. I said, well, you know, okay. And then I got, and that was pretty much it. I was going to ask him if I was going to get notified of when my next one was, and he hung up on me as soon as I got if or am I, he hung up. So basically hung up on me. And then the other day, I believe I did get a paper in the mail saying that it was like September is when it's the continuance is set for, but that's my complaint. I mean, I didn't feel like that was very fair at all. I felt like the trial began and it was already ended before I ever had a trial. You know, I hate to think of all the people that are trying like me, you know, and I felt that I'd done better. I mean, at least I have a part-time job, and I got somebody telling me that's not good enough, and that I'm a piece of crap for living off my fiance, and, you know, I just don't think that's fair, and I don't want anybody else to go through that either. I mean, I guess that's my complaint. Thank you.
Thank you. Public forum is no action can be taken, so thank you.
Thank you.
Marlin, Highway Superintendent report.
Good morning.
No priorities.
Update on zoning. There's going to be a special use permit or hearing on at the planning commission level on the 26th for a temporary asphalt plant in a borrow pit. On our short road trip the other afternoon, we went by it with the Road and Bridge Committee, so they know where it's at. But it's right along our Grain Bin Road, north of Highway 77, curve south of Warmore there. So, that'll be coming up. And it'll probably be on the board agenda the second meeting in June. So. And then we're still working on the comp plan, wind regs, zoning reg update. So. Moving along, we had a, I forgot to put on the agenda about the special purchase. So I think if I'm right, I think you got one quote, Dawn, is that right?
No.
So I'm thinking we can accept the quotes and take action on it in 2 weeks. Is that probably what will have to happen to do it legally?
How many did you ask for? Did you just get asked for one quote?
We advertised in the paper.
Okay.
And then, you know, anybody that called or came in and got specs, I don't...
Okay, well, we got one.
I don't think we can accept the quotes, though. It's not listed on here.
Oh, no, we have to wait for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We'll leave it sealed.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave it sealed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, however, we need to handle that.
Yeah.
Moving on to the agenda part, there's approve or disapprove a resolution for a safety study report at the BNSF crossing at South 66th Road. That's about 0.4 miles south of Gage Road. BNSF, there's a copy of the resolution in your file and a map showing the location. This is a place where the lights and gates have been installed and they're operational, and so the state is requesting that we remove the stop signs. And because we put them up with a resolution from the board, we have to take them down that way. So,
N17.
I would approve a motion to approve resolution 1017.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Then we've got a bid letting accept for reject award motor grade bids at 9. So we'll move on to the rest of the report. I've got a meeting set up on Friday for the Barnston South negotiation. Again, it got canceled last month. We finally got one set up again with the CE, and we need to be getting that done because that project's supposed to start next month. Start date's June 21st, so be doing that on Friday. And as far as the crews, we're on design. Well, we did move over to the bridge on East and West and 19 Blakely because the bridge was getting worse. We knew we had to replace it. We had it sized for some big pipe, and the bridge was getting worse. It was sinking away on us, so we moved over there to replace that. So as soon as we're done with that, we'll move back to the shouldering on South 66th Road. And asphalt crew still sealing cracks on all the blacktops. Bridge crew's doing bridge maintenance and stuff we found out during the inspection process. Our inspection process now, they want us to do it quarterly, keep up with them. We have 4 guys going to a refresher course first part of June. To comply with all the requirements for that. So, any questions?
Jerry, just for interest, you might name who your bridge inspectors are just so we get more familiar with our personnel.
Galen Engel. This is Rod Aiden, bridge foreman. And then there's Bob Davis and Travis Boyer that are all the inspectors. A couple of them have moved off to the bridge crew, but we're still using them for inspections because they're qualified. It takes quite a bit to get somebody qualified. It takes 5 years experience and 2-week course and keeping up with all the refreshers. So
we do that.
Chairman.
Matt?
Marlon, and I want to allow confidentiality with regard to their health needs, but Marlon spoke with me yesterday afternoon regarding some
employees that will essentially be out of commission for a while, so there he'll run into a staffing issue there that we'll need to address coming up. So I don't know if – is everyone aware of that?
I don't know if everyone is. I talked to Dave. We have – I can't mention names or situations, but we're going to be short two employees, plus Galen's going to that bridge refresher course, the RC course. He's basically gone for 3 weeks, too. So, you know, if we rob people off the dirt crew, that's only going to leave one or two people working on there most of the time. So.
Mr. Chair, if it works, I guess it would be a personnel issue of sorts, but if deemed a topic for executive session, it gets to be kind of complicated, doesn't it? I wonder if that wouldn't maybe be time well spent just so everybody can hear the details and collectively we can make a decision as how to direct Marlon or encourage or discourage Marlon. What actions has, Matt, if he, you had...
Well, HIPAA comes into play on it, so we've
got
to be
very sensitive about the health, the medical issues, and there's bands that involves several... That'd be your call, though, Mr. Chair. That might be one way to get everybody up to snuff on it.
Can we do it at the end of the meeting?
Sure. I mean, it's not.
I hate to run everyone.
Nope. Could be done.
I'm going to interrupt you, Marlon, at 9 o'clock. You can finish your report after.
I was pretty well done.
Are you? Well, accept or reject or award motor grader bids, 9 o'clock. Need a motion to close the bids.
I move we close the bids at... 9 a.m.
Second. Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman to close the bids, 9 o'clock.
And open said bids and read them.
Second. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
What do you want me to do with it? Oh, I thought maybe we'd give it to our...
Oh, I don't know who you wanted to go to.
So you always give it to me on building and grounds. How can you do that?
That's because you're you. We just like to give you stuff.
Does anybody... I have some extra specs here if anybody wants to look at them.
Really, we ought to give them to the chairman of the finance committee.
There you go.
I think Marlon would be just fine reading them.
Well, the first one, I'll just take them in order as they got presented to me, was from Nebraska Machinery Company. And we're taking bids. We had two different sets of specs. As you remember, we were going to spec an all-wheel drive and a regular motor grader. And this one, the first one on top is the all-wheel drive. $90 to $120 days from the award bid date for delivery. On our specs that we approved, we had a request for extended warranty option. So we added that in there, but we can either choose to take that or not. So total price of a new six-wheel drive 2010 motor grader, $233,690. Extended warranty, $8,100. Total with extended warranty, $241,790. And I don't see any. It's a Caterpillar Model 140M all-wheel drive. Weight is 35,708. Then we have the four-wheel drive motor grader, 90 to 120 days from award date for delivery. Total price of four-wheel drive, $213,900. extended warranty, $7,500. Total with extended warranty, $221,400. And the next one we have is from Murphy Tractor and Equipment Company. And these are both from Lincoln. Okay, the first on top of his is a four-wheel drive 2010 motor grader, $204,030. Extended warranty option, $9,500. Total with extended warranty, $213,530. And there's a note, a deduct $10,000 for standard controls in lieu of electric hydraulic. There's an exception to the specification. John Deere 770 GP has 548 cubic inches, Tier 3 engine with 165 to 230 horsepower, in lieu of 180 to 215 as specified. This engine will use less fuel due to the larger cubic inches, as it will not have to work as hard to get the horsepower. And then there's a cab. Less defroster fans are not required in John Deere due to the high back air conditioning system. Okay, then we go to the 2010 six-wheel drive, $228,564. John Deere 772 GP, weight 40,080 pounds. Extended warranty option, $9,500. Total, $238,064. And in the exceptions, they list engine. John Deere 772 GP has 548 cubic inch Tier 3 engine with 194 to 245 horsepower in lieu of 220 horsepower to 260 horsepower as specified. This engine will use less fuel due to larger cubic inches, as it will not have to work as hard to get the HP. And then on the cab, it has the same comment on the defroster fans. And I think that's all of them.
Well, now it has the same option as far as going to the standard control.
Oh, it does. Okay. Yeah, I see that there. Same options and deduct.
Get a motion to refer them to Road and Bridge?
Excuse me. Is the deduct $10,000 also on that machine?
Right.
I would move referring to
Road and Bridge and Finance.
I think, yeah, Finance and Road and Bridge.
And we can do it before or
I don't know. Just a couple comments I would make with that motion is the bids are awfully close, awfully good. Appreciate the heck out of them. I think two things we need to do some studying on is fuel efficiency. We need to do a little more examination on how that, because we're talking about lifetime here. And then trade-in values, because obviously they're just within a few thousand dollars of each other, you know, outright. And remind the board, we don't have any trade-in on this one, right?
Right.
This is replacing that New Holland that we let them buy back or whatever. So this is cash out of our budget.
Today or in 2 weeks?
I would say we need at least 2 weeks.
I would recommend
I was going to ask him, how long is your bid good for, Marlon? Your bid, how long is it?
Let's get a second first.
Huh?
Second.
Let's get a second. Seconded by Bauman now. Go ahead.
What was the bid? How much?
I can go 30 days.
Okay. That's fine.
If you look on your report, I did contact some other counties as far as comparing the six-wheel drive to the four-wheel drive. And the counties that I talked to basically, well, in one township, and I think there's another township that has an all-wheel drive. Sicily Township has run one for 9 years and never got stuck. Don't put on chains in wintertime. Saline County has three of them. They put two chains on each one this winter just because they thought they should. Hamilton County has one that they use for snow removal and on the dirt crew, and dirt crew really says they get a lot more grading done faster. And also Jefferson County, and they didn't use any change for snow removal. So that was some of the comments I got. So.
I also did some investigation and talked to some different people that have used both kinds, and I think we would be better off probably to have the front-wheel drive, too. It makes a lot of difference, the operators and even the foremen on the jobs and everything about that. But I do think we ought to look at that $10,000 deduct pretty hard for standard controls. I mean, the grader don't perform any different, I don't think, whether you got a steering wheel or joystick. So I think we need to look at that. We talk about saving lots of money on stuff, and, boy, $10,000 would buy a few loads of rocks. So I guess that's the only comment I'd have.
Okay, referred to the two committees and back in 2 weeks. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. To approve for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To send to committees. Marlon, what else do you have?
The next thing I got is that, I guess, at 9:30 is that public hearing on the road.
Okay. Gus, you're up on Sheriff and Jail Department quarterly reports.
Morning.
Good morning.
Today I will do the Sheriff's Office quarterly reports. It'll be for the fourth quarter of 2009 and first quarter of 2010. You should have the packets from yesterday there. Starting out with the 2009 fourth quarter. Calls for service, we had 1,622 compared to this last quarter at 1,337. Accidents was 184 compared to 109. Citations were 51 compared to 38. Warnings were 270 to 223. And arrests was 156 to 101. Papers served fourth quarter last year, 176. First quarter this year, 220. Warrants served 107 versus 91. Fees earned, $4,229.87. Compared to $4,668.24. Mileage earned, $2,334.40. And $1,873.11. Monies earned from copies was $82 last fourth quarter, and this last quarter here was $104. Distress warrants collected in full was $10,270.33, compared to $471.25 this last quarter. Distress warrants partial payments, $1,005.50, compared to $50. Tail inspection income was $2,650, and then this last quarter, $3,230. Fuel consumed by petroleum units approximately is 5,150 gallons last quarter compared to 4,912 this last quarter. Miles driven, 69,010 compared to 64,838. Transports for prisoners, 2,266 to 2,068. Grant money reimbursed is $1,331.22. Last year, this year, $1,351.09. There are no K-9 deployments in either one of those quarters because we're in the process right now of transition, and the officer has been out at the academy, the new K-9 officer, for the last couple months. So that accounts for that. Same way with the drugs found by K-9. We had three meth labs in the fourth quarter last year and none so far this year. We had five drug violations compared to one this last quarter. Reserve mileage, they gave us 2,168 miles compared to 4,047. Reserve hours for working was 268 and 441 last quarter. Blink checks were 1,120 compared to 1,550. And number of open doors found was 11 last quarter and 14 first quarter of this year. Any questions on those?
Oh, I always have a question. I go back not so much as to this quarter to last quarter. I'll go back from first quarter of this year to first quarter of 09, because that's comparable times. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't comparing winter to spring or spring to whatever.
Right.
By doing that, the first quarter of 09, you showed 149 arrests. In the first quarter of 2010, you showed 101 arrests. That's good. That's 50. But then I go down to reserve hours, and you showed 302 reserve hours in the first quarter for those arrests. And then you got 441 reserve hours this quarter, and you have 50 less arrests.
Well, that has nothing to do with the arrests.
What are they?
Reserve hours could be the time they spend at the fair.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
They transport prisoners if they work court security. That's just their bulk of hours they gave us that quarter.
And so he had that much of a...
They might have had some transport times that they took a transport force one quarter versus the next quarter. I know we had a couple. I think we have some going out to McCook a couple times. That takes a good share of a day there. And depending how busy the dockets are here in the court, keep them there quite a while as well. So that really doesn't relate to the arrests that much. That's just arrests that come into our office.
Okay. Good answer.
Gus, I have a question.
I'm not done.
You're not done. Okay.
You showed 3,000 less miles driven from this quarter to last, that quarter of a year ago. But you show 1,000 gallons of more fuel used. Oh. What's that?
Well, again, depends how many calls for service we have. If they have a lot of calls for service, sometimes that dictates the downtime for reports. Once in a while, the deputies might do a transport force account for some of it. The gallons, lots of times, that depends on gas prices fluctuate.
Yeah, but these are gallons, not dollars.
Right, gallons. Well, it depends. You know, what we got, how busy we were. If they have to punch it and get going to call, that consumes a lot more fuel versus just normal patrol time. And it depends what vehicles are out patrolling.
Would delayed billing come into that? I mean, billing sometime? How does the road, maybe Marlon's out of the room, but doesn't the road department bill the
sheriff's
department?
Yeah, and then we pay to the actual provider, like SAP Brothers, who we send our claim to.
But it's whenever they get the paperwork done.
That's correct. And it might not come on regular basis.
I'm like Ron. I've noticed in past reports, too, and here, that the miles driven and the gallons used a lot of times are way out of whack.
And our mileage is approximate because we try to keep it according to our maintenance schedule. Watch it. Sometimes people just don't get it filled out, and we can watch close, really close, but we can't get the exact mile. We try to get as close as we can.
Well, it just kind of came out there, you know, 1,000 more gallons, because you go down to patrol units miles driven for transport, you show 13,000 first quarter of a year ago, and you show 2,000 miles transport.
What's that under on? Which one are you talking about?
Patrol units miles driven for transport. You had over 13,000 the first quarter of 09.
And six times the miles and use less fuel.
Yeah, you got 2,000 miles for this quarter. You know, that's 11,000 less miles.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess however the computing is doing to determine gallons used and miles driven and all that.
Well, the gallons used comes right off the claim from the highway department.
It just doesn't, you know, you look like you're going to have that many more gallons. You would have been driving that many more miles, but it's almost in reverse.
Well, we can double check. None says it can't be a typo, but.
Let's see. What else? How come so many more building checks, 1,550 this quarter versus a year ago when you showed 492? What would cause that?
Just depends how busy they are. If they got new deputies, I have a lot of deputies.
A lot more empty buildings in town, or
well, we have we try to hit town once or twice a night if they can, depending on calls. Again, if they're busy, they can't get them done. We have some that'll do more than others. You know, they like get out and walk, and some don't want to walk that much. You know, so that just depends. You know, so
I'm done. Sorry.
No, you kind of touched on my question. It was the first two quarters of 08, 09 was 13,000 miles transports. 2010, and then I'm going to jump over to Amber's report, and our prisoners were 08, 235, 09, 272, and 191. So, I mean, there is some discrepancy of it, but I was just curious about why the miles difference.
Well, the numbers are what they are unless there's typos, and I guess someone can tell you. It just depends on what the workload is and how many transports we have, and there's a lot of factors coming into play on it. I will double-check on it, though, when I get back, make sure they didn't inadvertently put a number somewhere they shouldn't have.
That is interesting, though, on the transports, because that reflects the jail issue and all that, of course. But in the first quarter of each of the last 2 years, you were at 13,000, and this year it was just 2,000. So that, I mean, that sort of a jump almost needs an explanation.
Well, the numbers...
That kind of drop would be an explanation.
Yeah, the numbers are down in the jail as a whole, which relates to a lot of our transports, obviously, as well. So,
I mean, that's a positive.
It is a positive. It's a savings.
Fewer prisoners.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Amber, you don't ever step up, talk about the jail here.
Our population is down from last January, so that's kind of, we're not having to ship as many inmates out and around and bring them back for court and stuff, so that kind of affects that. Start with housing report, first quarter 2010. 197 total lodged for the first quarter, 128 arrests by the Sheriff's Office, 58 Beatrice PD, 4 for Wymore PD, and 7 for the State Patrol. Of those booked, alcohol-related arrests were 28. Go to the medical report for the first quarter. Total spent on medical, $7,362.60. Of that, general care, $7,168.76. Emergency medical, $193.84. And $335 of the general care was toward dental. Breaks it down on your quarterly report, the 146 males and 51 females, 86 of those booked. Had felony charges, 235 misdemeanor charges, 62 other charges. Again, recaps the inmate medical expense. No income from outside prisoner holding. $355 brought in for fingerprints. $1,240.61 for commissions off the phone. Commissary commissions, $5,980.73. And spent on outside prisoner holding was $5,719. So, and that was safekeeper. For safekeepers at D&E. So, questions?
No, I don't anyway. Ron?
Don't let me down, Ron. All right, thank you.
Yeah, there was no way. Flag out there flying, I guess.
Just real briefly, the APHIS machine was hooked up yesterday, so we are live, and after a little bit of training, we'll be doing that and sending all the fingerprints electronically through the State Patrol. Additionally, the State Patrol did allow us access to their system through the State Patrol office downstairs. In our MOU, they did say if for some reason the office, the State Patrol office, would leave, then we would have to incur the cost of the connection between us and State Patrol. But right now, there's no cost since their office is downstairs.
That the fingerprint deal, is that the one that we got from some other? Was
no, this is the new one.
Okay, that was off the grant. Okay.
So.
Mr. Chairman, Mark asked. My investigator has to get going. He's got something he's got to talk about with Mark. Could he come in real quick and just
yep.
touch base?
Yes, he can.
Yes, thank you.
Just a comment. First quarter of 09, there was spent outside prisoner holding was almost $54,000 compared to $5,700 for this quarter. Pretty good for budgets, isn't it?
Helps.
Robbie?
To try to show you guys how this works, there's a lot of small pictures in this brochure, but basically I think what we're trying to do is with
right now. You might have to tell them what it is, because some weren't even in on it.
What we're looking at is a site imaging sonar. It would be mounted to the boat that Mark has now. We're trying to eliminate the amount of hours that we're spending. Every time we try to get a diver out, first we have to get like six divers lined up who normally take off work. Then we go to the pond, and everybody has to get suited up. We get out there, and 3 hours later, when they get to the middle, they're up to their chest in water, which we've just wasted 6 hours of search time. With this sight imaging sonar, we can jump in a pond or lake or whatever, do a grid real quick, find out what the depths are, and if they're like most of them we've been to, 5 or 6 feet deep, then we're pretty much done. We're not looking for a van any longer. With this sonar, with it being side imaging rather than the old style, it just showed, you know, bleeps on the screen. This actually shows you what's underwater, and they've got some pictures in here that shows like boats underwater. They had a town that they flooded for a lake, so you can still see like their swimming pool, some of the bridges. They've got some other pictures in here that show what it looks like. They've also got, which is very impressive, this down image 2D sonar. And I got to show you this. This is actually, this is the boat, and this is what's under the boat. This is the image on the screen. So, and this is what shows on the screen. Mm-hmm. That's a sailboat, a swimming pool, a bridge. This is underneath the boat. That's what's on the screen.
It was pretty clear.
Yeah. This is the boat.
You got a cost?
Well, we have to make copies of this.
$1,800.
Yeah. And I'm still doing a little check. I've actually researched this thing for over a year. And the thing is I've been to Cabela's Bass Pros, and I've called numerous different suppliers. And I've told them what we were looking for, and every one of them right away told us that we wanted to go with Hummingbird. And there's several reasons, but I won't go into that. Right now, we've got a price of $1,739.63, and that's everything. Some of these other units, once you buy the head unit, then there's another $500 piece and another $600 piece. So this is everything we need. Once this shows up, we hook it up and we're ready to go. So, any questions?
Yeah.
This is in response to emergency management meeting we had. There was a request to use some of EMPG money from emergency management, and so that's a 50% payback when we use that. And so there were some dollars there. We had talked about, you know, towards the end of the year, there's some budget money. You know, we always want to be careful zeroing everything out, but remember, this is dollars that are out there. My understanding is you use a unit from a different state when you need it. There's a downtime to go down and get that periodically. So there's a use here for this, and we just wanted clarification as a committee to make that explanation. So that's why it's here.
Because it won't only be, I mean, we've got numerous ponds we still need to hit. Those are probably the last stages of this investigation. But this will come in handy if we ever have a drowning or I've read a lot of agencies are using these, and they're going into their bigger ponds and they're pulling out a lot of old stolen vehicles. So if we've got, you know, there's places we could probably check once in a while for vehicles or even.
Are you considering going to nearly 140 some ponds that were built through the watershed program in Gage County and looking at each one of them?
No.
I hope not.
I'm sure there's people that would like us to, but no. We're trying to narrow it down. We're trying to get everything done we can as quickly as we can. That's why we're tired of dragging these divers down and spending a whole day for no reason at all.
Is it the committee's recommendation to purchase this is kind of what I'm getting, or
I think that was the consensus. We just wanted more information so everyone was aware of what we were buying,
sounds
where that was coming
me.
Out of. So.
Another thing, too, that when we order this, Hummingbird sends a – they actually have a training video just for search and rescue, and that we'll review that because they're big into this.
Okay.
And another thing, too, Hummingbird right now, whenever they've had an upgrade, a lot of the other companies charge you $100, $200 for the new software. Hummingbird, they just send it to you on a one of the little cards, and you just update it that way, no charge.
Okay.
So that way, if the depth and the fish finders show up on the docket, there's a purpose.
Yeah.
We're not going to Rockford fishing. We're using it for purpose.
Okay. Thank you, Robbie.
You bet.
9:30, public hearing on road to vacate a road petition.
We need a motion.
Need a motion to open a public hearing.
No, I mean to accept these reports.
Okay. Motion to accept the reports by Ron.
So move.
Second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Public hearing on road to vacate the road petition. Need a motion to open a public hearing.
So move.
Moved by Bauman. Second by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. Marlin.
I have a sign-up sheet here. I didn't know if the Madam Clerk had one ready, so I got one ready. If anybody wants to testify, but several weeks ago you got my recommendations. It's in your board packet again. I'll have to find it so I can tell you what it says.
The location is South 3rd Drive from South Right-of-Way, line of East Sage Road, southerly to the North Right-of-Way, line of East Sage Drive.
Okay, and my recommendation I gave to you in April, but basically this road's been closed for an undetermined amount of time due to the bridge failure. Even checking with Galen, he's been there since 1979, and it was closed prior to that. This road has no utilities along the existing right-of-way. The Paddock Township sent a letter of support for this road vacate, and adjoining landowners have shown support for said closure by signing the petition as presented to the county. And for that reason, I do recommend that the county proceed with the closure hearings and set a date and time, which we did, and that's today. So.
Okay. Mr. Willen, I'm here, assuming he's here to present his. What section is that in?
216, Paddock.
I'm here on behalf of all of the adjacent landowners, Lester and Jean Shalla, John and Nicole Shalla, and Terry and Pamela Penke. I'll admit I'm not a very good map drawer, but I thought it might help you if you can see what we're talking about here. And there's a little bit of an anomaly, because when you guys named roads, you were supposed to be able to get to drives off of roads and all of that. This was a screw-up on the county's part, because Sage Road is on the north side of Big Indian Creek. You go about a mile and a half, and the other road turns and goes north away from the creek. It's a minimum maintenance road. South Third Drive, if it still went south, what it does now is it goes a few hundred yards through a cornfield and it comes to Indian Creek, and what's left of your bridge is out there on two pilings sitting in the middle of the creek. You can't get within probably 50 to 75 feet of that bridge because
I don't ever remember it open.
The creek's bank washed out.
You do, Davey?
Mr. Schall indicated to me that when he was 5-6 years old, he remembers being able to walk across it, but I think it was closed even at that time, so it hasn't been used as a bridge for a long time. Then as you come across on the south side, headed up to what is Sage Drive, for about a third of that distance, it's a two-track through the field. Once you get to where the old railroad tracks were, from there south up to Sage Drive, it's classified as a minimum maintenance road. I live on Sage Drive, and it's supposed to be maintained, and I'm lucky if I see the maintainer twice a year, so you can imagine how frequently they hit this little stretch. But who does hit this stretch is every idiot that owns a four-wheel drive when it gets muddy, because they want to see if they can get down there. They tear it up. Then when the Shallas, and Mr. Shalla, who's here, farms for Mr. Pinky, the other owner, when they want to use it, the thing is so rutted and torn up that you can't get up and down it. And what the adjacent landowners would like to do is to put a gate across that road at the south end, because there's nobody, there's no houses, there's nobody else that owns any property down there. No one has a reason to be on that road that's legitimate unless they have these people's permission. And I think the landowners will represent to you that, you know, anybody they give permission to, they're not going to have a problem with tearing the road up. But it does happen. It seems like every time it gets muddy, somebody's got to see if they can make it up and down that road, and they tear it up and cause a problem for everybody else. In the pre-cell phone days, usually what they did when they got buried was come to the closest landowner, who was me, and at 2 in the morning and want me to pull them out, which I wouldn't do because I have a very small acreage tractor and a pickup, and if you're stupid enough to get yours stuck, I'm not tearing mine up trying to get you out. But it's just a problem for the landowners, and nobody else has a reason to be on it. Nobody else needs to be on that road. And if the county would abandon it, the landowners have agreed, because the Pinkies own the land on the east side of East Sage Drive, from East Sage Drive down to the bridge.
Is that what's listed as a McKeever property?
Yes.
Okay.
Terry and Pam Pinkie bought that a short time ago. And the Shalla family, between Lester and Jean, or John and Nicole, own everything on the west side of the road. They've reached a private agreement that if the county will abandon this road, that they're going to give each other a mutual easement to use that road so they still have access to their fields. They're just going to be able to keep everybody else from tearing the thing up so it's impossible for them to use. And that's what we're asking you to do. If anybody has any questions, I'll try to answer them. Otherwise, Mr. Schall is here.
As long as that bridge has been there, there's probably some historical value there.
There's no bridge, though, is there?
Hasn't had a lot of value.
There was something out there.
Yeah, there's like, I think there's four pilings and what's left of the steel sitting on top of it. I've lived out there since 1979, 83, something, I don't know, 20-some years, and the planking's been gone for virtually all of that time. So they're just basically a steel frame sitting out there on some pilings.
I think we're going to see more of this in the future, actually. So anyone else need to testify today? Matt? Well, just okay. Motion to close the public hearing.
So move.
Second. Moved by Flea, second by Bauman. Discussion, vote, 7-0. And that's all that says on it to have the public hearing today. So what is the time frame on that, 6 months to come back?
We have to pass a resolution.
You can do it by resolution.
Resolution next meeting, then?
Thanks.
Resolution, and then I think it's 3 months before it's final.
Final, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
it's no different than the one we did off Wolf Wildcat.
Right, so. Right.
Did anybody ever research as to why it takes so long for 3 months to close a road?
It's just in statute. That's what it says.
I mean, has anybody, why?
In case you were on your horse in Nebraska City, I guess. I don't really know. That's one of those that's been on forever.
I mean, you have
probably
a public...
allows time for buyer's remorse, basically.
Yeah, you have a public hearing. You'd think 30 remorse, days would be enough, you know, after you... But boy.
Mr. Chair, Red just mentioned the body. There's another one of these possibly in the works. It's between Section 9 and 10, south half of that mile in Liberty Township. Just a heads up that some landowners have approached me, and I think probably Marlon, that that's down there in that problem area we've had for years with bridges and road eating away. And
moved the road over.
North of Jay Moyers, and we've had to move the road over once already, and Jay approached me the other day, so that might be coming up at some point. I just told him to get a hold of Marlon and get the petitions and all that. So
at least close a portion, you know, so you don't have to mess with an expensive $300,000 bridge.
Okay, Mark Meintz, Emergency Management Activity Report. Thank you, John. Mike?
Okay.
You could be the Southeast Community College athletic mascot or something.
Yeah.
Storm ready.
That could be.
Yeah, that's a good slogan for them. Yeah, we're a storm ready county.
First thing I want to do is something I was hoping to get taken care of with the National Weather Service, but due to the blizzards and things, they weren't able to come down, and due to the conflicts that our regional meetings are always on our board days. I go ahead and we did for 2009, actually, it was the end of 2009 before they actually did our certification. But for the third time, this time we had to go back and do the full study for our storm ready qualification. So we are now again till 2012 storm ready county, which means it's about a 30-page application. They come down and actually do an audit. Three gentlemen come down from Weather Service, from NEMA, and from our Nebraska Emergency Management Association, did a complete audit on our community, drove through our county, checked a few places. The main things for that is to establish a 24-hour warning point for Emergency Operations Center, which is our 911 center, have more than one method of receiving severe weather forecast and warnings, and we do that by several means. We have actually five means that we receive those now. Create a system that monitors local weather conditions, promote a significance of public readiness through community seminars, and develop a formal hazardous weather plan, which includes training severe weather spotters and holding exercises. Those are the top five things that we have to do. And we do have a hazardous weather plan that we rewrote. They approved it, and I'll be bringing it back to the board for the board's approval. So we are, again, a storm-ready county. And if you look at the map, I did attach a map there. In Nebraska, there are only 16 counties in this area. Saline County was the first, I was the second, and Lancaster County was the third county just in the southeast area. Next closest is Kearney and Adams County. So out of all the 93 counties, there's only 16 counties in the state that are certified as a storm-ready county. So a lot of that has to do with my volunteers and the storm spotters, the fire departments and things. I give them a lot of credit for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to receive that accreditation. So it's a good accreditation to have. So rest of my activity report, I believe you all had one. Again, my staff has stayed the same. Myself and Sam Stevens, Mark Jobin, David Niemeyer's deputy directors. Rick and Julie Cookus are still our volunteer CERT coordinators. Our CERT is a community emergency response team, where we have volunteers that are trained up to respond to disasters, assist law enforcement, fire departments, and EMS on disasters and emergencies, and at special events. Wade Ostrich is still our volunteer communications officer, and of course Sean Wise, our Homeland Security Exercise Training Officer. I'll talk a little bit about him in a little bit. I've added our contact information so everybody has that. We have agencies' roles and responsibilities that is the Nebraska Emergency Management has placed on us as part of our EMPG grant funding, is that the local emergency manager has the day-to-day authority and a responsibility for overseeing emergency management programs and activities in the county. I've attached our goal. We've actually wrote a goal, and how we're going to follow those goals is in the second frame on there. And so you can take time to look at that. We are required as a county to have an emergency manager by state statute. Every county shall have an emergency manager, and every county should have a current local emergency operations plan, which is the LEOP, which again, it seems like it's an ongoing working document. With the election just now, that'll all change again. So I'll have to go through and rewrite the book every time we have a change. Actually, there's certain annexes that we actually have to go in and rewrite every. Seems like we do it every couple months. So I have in here the list of times that when we get called for situations, our resources. Again, we've added a couple things. This last year we've purchased.